We are now between Easter and Pentecost, as I said to you when I was thinking about this message, what to do now and what to preach. I wonder how many of you, if I were to ask you, don't have to put your hands up, if I were to ask you, how many of you have had a major loss in your life, a major disappointment, discouragement, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in health-wise, whether it's in a trauma that we heard about. I'm sure if I were to allow you to put your hands up, all of you probably will put your hands up to say, I have been discouraged, I have gone through some difficulties in my life. There is nobody who hasn't gone through difficult times. And it's interesting and very ironic that in this passage that we read in John 20 is that Jesus Christ was crucified and died on the cross. His followers, his disciples completely fell apart. They felt traumatized, they felt discouraged, despondent, defeated, bewildered, depressed, disillusioned, demoralized. In other words, they were really empty, running on empty. They didn't expect that Jesus Christ would die the way he did. They had no idea. Okay, they believe some of his promises that he might come back to life, or that he will raise back from the dead. Well, that's never been done before, so they were a little bit skeptical about that. They were completely bewildered and left discouraged. And something happens that when Jesus comes to meet them in this passage in John 20, those people who once were cowards, 2 days earlier were cowards, they become now full of courage. Those who were empty, they are now empowered and equipped. Those who were discouraged, demoralized, depressed, they are now completely daring for Christ with a new vision, with a new empowerment from the Holy Spirit. Now, I've got another question. You can put your hands up on that one. How many of you, when you're driving, never let your petrol tank get below half empty? Brilliant. How many of you, when you see your petrol tank just go a quarter of it empty, you just let it go? How many of you just, when it gets only a quarter empty, you don't fill it up? How many of you? Okay. How many of you here think that E, you know that letter E on the gauge of petrol means enough to go by? Yeah. How many of you have never actually filled a car with petrol? Ever? No, that's full, I mean. None of you have filled a car ever with petrol to the full. Yeah. I'm sure some of you have. Indeed. Now, I've got a compulsory disorder, sickness, illness, because I usually, as soon as it gets to just about halfway, quick, fill it up. In spite of all these warnings that if you do fill it up and the car is heavier, it consumes more. But, so what? I'd rather have it full than not have enough petrol. Is anybody here? Okay, it's embarrassing. Who's ever run out of petrol? My goodness, there's a number of you. What did you do? Honestly, it does happen, doesn't it? It does happen. And this is what really, this is the situation the disciples, they find themselves in. They run out of petrol, they were discouraged, really disappointed. They didn't know what to do. Their gauge for the petrol, with their relationship with Christ, got completely to zero. And I love what Jesus does in order to fill them up again, to fill their petrol tank of their spiritual life with his promises, with his love, with his care. So it shows that they were in the evening. One translation says they were very late evening, which means they were very quiet, they were a bit stressed, whatever it was there. On that first day of the week, the doors were locked, which means they were, as it says there, afraid of the Jewish leaders. And Jesus comes among them. And I love that because I don't know what you think, guys, when I'm never run out of petrol because I'm so was the word obsessed with, once it gets to half, I have to go and fill it up. But I don't know what you did, those of you who run out of petrol, a good half of the church ran out of petrol. What did you do in those moments? But here Jesus comes right and meets them where they are. And I love that. And sometimes I don't know your situation in life, but I find out with me that when I run out of petrol, either spiritually or physically, whether it's illness or tiredness or whatever, God comes and meets me where I am. He doesn't ask me to walk another 5 miles and go and find a petrol station to fill it up or whatever. He comes and meets me where I am. He is the AA or the RAC of our spiritual life. Jesus comes in. And I love when he comes in, those words that are highlighted in red, he says, "Peace be with you." You know, if I had been Jesus, I would have scolded him. "I've told you that I'm going to come back to life. Why didn't you believe me?" But he comes in very gently and he says, "Peace be with you. It's me. Trust me." I love that. And in any situation that we find ourselves, Jesus doesn't come to scold us, judge us, pull us apart, and "I told you" kind of dialogue with us. He says, "Peace be with you in the midst of your bewilderment, discouragement, unbelief. I am there." First, he comes to meet us. Secondly, he comes to bring the word of encouragement to us. Nobody understands how you feel as much as Jesus Christ does in the midst of your own situation of life. And after that, I love this. After he said this, he showed them basically his love. Jesus showed them, he didn't just lecture them. He calmed their spirit. He reassured them of his love and presence there. But now he really showed them the extent of that incredible love. Yes. He showed them his hands outside. The disciples were, look at that word, overjoyed. Overjoyed when they saw the Lord. How does that help me when I am feeling stressed out, when I run out of spiritual control? How does that help me? When you really feel unconditionally loved by God, your tongue never runs empty. Let me say that again. When you have experienced God's love unconditionally to you, you will never run empty. And I mean by that discouragement. Okay, we don't get discouraged. But more doubt, disbelief, and so on. Yes, there will come of times for such is life. But you will know the source where to go and fill up again. Because Jesus will always walk in those circumstances. Fourth thing that Jesus does, that as he goes and he shares his face with them and he shows them the extent of his love, his presence there, he brings something to them that nobody else can give us when we feel discouraged, depressed, demoralized, when we feel down. He offers them something incredible. The best message you can ever have. In one word, it's called forgiveness. If you forgive one sin, their sins are forgiven. If you don't love forgiven, they are not forgiven. Forgiveness is not for the perpetrator, for those who hurt us. Forgiveness is not for those who have been abusing us. Forgiveness is not for those who have been wrong us and done all sorts of things. Because forgiveness is for you. For your benefit, for your health, for your relationship with God. There are two things that sift us out from our tank of spiritual driving with God. It's guilt. One of them, yeah, guilt plays a huge, huge part, and it is resentment. The answer to both of those is forgiveness. Guilt and resentment are the two emotions that rob you of energy, sucks you of energy. Forgiveness is the petrol pump, if you want to, that fills us in again with the presence of God. That's what he does. Did you see this week what happened on the 22nd of April? Do you remember what it was on our news? What this government decided for the 22nd of April from now on, that you will be called? Steve Lawrence is day of forgiveness. That's what it is. A day of forgiveness. His dad has shown incredible Christian love, incredible witness. You and I have probably never had that kind of pain in our hearts as that man had to forgive the person who killed his son when he was only 18. 22nd of April. There is a 27th and 24th, there is a 29th of April, a day of forgiveness for you and for me. Every day is a day of forgiveness for you and me. Forgiveness is the key to blessing and to happiness. And then I love this, number 5. It says he offers them peace, he offers them forgiveness, and even more than that, because he knows we need peace, we need forgiveness, and out of us comes hatred and resentment and bitterness and guilt and all the stuff. And in order to keep us going, the engine of all that is fueled by the Holy Spirit. The Lord when Jesus came and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Embrace the Holy Spirit over there. That's the fuel, that's the power that we need in our lives. Jesus not only says, I want to be with you, I want to live within you. Religion says, I want to be with Jesus. A relationship with Jesus Christ says, I want to let him live in my life. There's a huge difference. Massive difference. Then he gives you a new reason to live for. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. Our ministry is completely different. Filled of peace, of forgiveness, and of course of the Holy Spirit. And now I am sending you as the Father has sent me. Your tank is full. Go and do the mission that I've given you. Become a spirit-led community. Go to the bridge. Go to the world and fulfill the commandment that I've given you. And I will be with you. And I will be in you until the end of this age. Wonderful. Wonderful. And again he says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. It is with that peace that we go in. And finally and lastly is that he helps us not only to go and witness, but to believe actually to what we witness for. Because the problem is many times is we don't believe in some of the stuff that we try to convince others of. And I like it when in this passage a week later the disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Mm-hmm. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, I love this. Put your finger here. Yeah. Already here. See my hands. Mm-hmm. Look at them. The marks of the nails are there. Reach out your hand. Come on. Come on, Thomas. Put it into my side. Where I've been pierced. Where blood came. Stop doubting. And believe. And Thomas said, what a response that is. My Lord and my God. What a response. I love that story. In the first place, I like Thomas because he's very honest and very open. Yeah. My tank is empty, and unless I see you and I see the marks of your hands, I cannot go anywhere. That's the only thing that will fill my tank for you and the mission you have given me. I love it because he comes very honestly to God. I haven't got it all. He doesn't put a religious mask all over him to say, you know, I better behave, but I'm running on full here. He doesn't at all. He runs on empty and he shows Jesus that he's empty. And the only thing that will fill his tank is to show, to see his wounds. The second thing I like about Thomas is that even though he doubts, even though he has this incredible unbelief, doubt about it, where do you actually find Thomas in the passage? Where is he physically? He tells us that he's with the disciples and prays with them. And usually what happens to us is when our tank is empty, when we feel discouraged and despondent, when we run really empty, we tend to withdraw from the fellowship. When we have doubts, we tend to come out of it. Thomas doesn't. That's why I like it so much. He was still with the believers. He was still with those who had a ground of firmness of faith. He still believes, from that matter, in the fellowship. And the third thing, Thomas, is that when he's eventually really faced with the reality of seeing Jesus, and Jesus says to him, "Come on, Thomas, come and touch my hands, come and see my wounds here, I'm not a ghost as such, come and see this." He doesn't waffle. He's not stubbornly prideful. He says, "My Lord and my God." He makes the decision given the evidence that he's God, right there and then. Somebody once says, "Doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs." And that's what God does for us. He comes to offer us a space in the midst of our difficult circumstances. He never comes to scold us, rebuke us. He always comes to bring forgiveness and grace, to fill us with His Holy Spirit, that we may go offer the world a very perfect world, His peace, His forgiveness, His grace, and of course, allow them to come and know Christ personally, because you have seen Him. And you have believed. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here with us this morning in this place. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have given us. Thank you for coming into our midst, just to the door of this building, to the doors of our hearts. Lord, I just want to pray that as we open our hearts to you now in worship, as we open our lives to you, come and visit us again with your Holy Spirit. Come and breathe peace on us. Breathe reassurance, love and grace. I want to pray for my brothers and sisters here, for any visitors who are here this morning, who find themselves behind locked doors, living in fear and trepidation, living with doubts, living with a trail of a painful life. Lord, come in. Come in and bring peace. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak a word of peace. Come and offer forgiveness. Come and breathe your Holy Spirit over our doubts, over our pains, over our circumstances. And let the evidence of the presence of your Spirit be felt among us all this hour here. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Empower us and equip us that we may continue to serve you to the end of the world. Spirit working in our hearts, but I could worship you to come and join me and display in the back.